Hello, good sir Ken. How are you doing?
I'm well, Sir Kevin. How are you?
Cannot argue. We are we've had a rough go of it this second year of OPA. I don't know the exact reasons for every excuse that we've had. We're back. Always feels good to be in the saddle.
That is true. Back in the saddle, as Steven Tyler once said.
Yeah, and even before the show got started, Eric Nelson of the Stunt Granny fame gave my wife and I a Christmas present of beer. Well, it's mostly my present, or all my presents, since she doesn't like beer. But it was called Falls City Beer, and it's a hipster repellent IPA. You've already finished yours. I am mostly done. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, even though I do bear a resemblance to the person, the aforementioned hipster who appears on the label of this beer,
Yeah. I do often wonder if I would qualify as a hipster, but I don't think I'm young enough. I don't think either of us are young enough to be in that
true.
demographic,
Yes, that's true.
even if some of our habits or appearances look hipsterish.
Right. But it was decent, I would say. I
Yeah,
don't
it's pretty mellow for an IPA, which I like the IPAs that are probably a little more mellow.
know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not too heavy on the malt. You can get the little bit of pininess and a little bit of 'cause what's the other type of hops that they mentioned there? But it's something a little bit sweeter and a little more floral. Oh, I left the bottle out here on purpose, and I'm
Oh,
not using it.
there we go. Yeah, I don't know. That guy just kind of looks like me. I feel
He
like
d
it's.
oh, it must be on the oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, Citra hops was used for dry hopping, which does give it a nice floral note there then.
And the dry hopping is what happens after the brewing.
After the first fermentation takes place is generally when the dry hopping happens. So you don't obviously cook the hops at all like you do in the boil. You just throw it in and they just kind of stay in there. In that case, it does not really impart any bitterness whatsoever. It's almost all smell. It's mild in the taste department.
I see. Cool. So, you can tell it's our first time back here for a while because we've done the Sippy Time beer segment at the beginning of the show.
Well, and I haven't even said that this is OPA number 62.
And you know what? It could be senility as well, since I think at 62, that is the legal age for retirement, I think. May still, I don't know. They were talking about raising it at some point,
I
but
thought it was 65.
65. Maybe 62 is like early retirement then. But
Yeah, I know some people have gone into retirement before that. God bless.
yeah, that would be nice, but whatever.
I do not see this in my future.
Yeah. if you have a job that you love, you never work a day in your life, Kevin. So, as podcasters for a living, we should know this more than anyone.
Yeah, and there is a curious gentleman that we've talked about before, who seems to run from a sure source of fame.
A mysterious gentleman, would you say?
Yes, a very mysterious gentleman that honestly nobody knows who it is exactly. And we
Right.
have covered this topic previously on the show. It was a Newsweek article
Yes.
about the founder of Bitcoin. that, you know, and this was kind of one of the funnier parts of this article, was they said how terrible that article was and how wrong it was.
Right. Yeah, they specifically called that one out because it was reported that this guy, you know, Satoru Nakamoto, am I saying that right? I'll probably get it. Satoshi. Satoshi? Yeah.
Yes.
He was someone, there was someone who actually did have that name, but it turned out not to be that guy. And, like, some of the details at the time didn't necessarily make 100% sense. And I know that everyone out there is treating us as, you know, as a...
experts in Bitcoin.
Yeah, and probably their primary source of news and factual, you know, factually accurate information. So I feel like we may have let them down a little bit. I think, you know... We got a little bit, we got splashed with a little of that Newsweek plop. I don't know, whatever you want to call it.
Well, and I guess I didn't.
You know, I just wanted to say journalism is hard, people.
I thought that it was, and I guess at least my remembering of reading that article, I didn't feel like they said that that was definitely the person. Like, I thought that they did at least say that they thought that that was the person.
True.
And they, again, they had some type of evidence, and I guess you can get suckered, like, when you aren't experts, you can get suckered in, and maybe not know some of the ins and outs that would be required to get this thing done.
Yes. Well, it's this guy that we originally thought it might have been, according to the Newsweek article. Oh, and let me say first, I think, you know, Newsweek takes some blame here because, like, they are supposed to, like, make sure of these things before they just publish their, you know, article or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, it seems like they should have known that they didn't have 100% airtight story there, I guess, when you're... Oh. Kind of like exposing this private, you know, citizen to this kind of scrutiny for like no reason is kind of like messed up, I think.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I think that you're bound to be wrong at anything at some juncture. I guess it's always interesting to know what people thought the line was. Like, even the backstory to this, I guess, would be kind of interesting. To me, it would be an interesting read.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I don't care what happens to them whatsoever. It's not going to change my day at all.
Right, right.
If they got fired over it, okay. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember hearing about that.
If they're still working there, okay, whatever. I don't read Newsweek unless you send me an article about it. Or from it.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess it... According to this new evidence, it seems like the person, Satoshi Nakatoma, I don't know.
Nakamoto.
Satoshi Nakamoto may have actually been a collection of people, or two or more people, perhaps.
Yeah, because as I said, that they really, to me, they mentioned just the two guys in this article.
Yes.
But there was almost in every instance where they talked about creating Bitcoin, they also talked about other people being involved who curiously stayed unnamed. And the first, the main gentleman in the story is Craig Stephen Wright, who is an Australian businessman who lives in Sydney. And then Dave Kleeman, who was, has now been dead for a couple of years.
Yeah, that guy.
Because of a MRSA infection that he was in the hospital for 3 freaking years. Like, I knew that was bad because, the wife's one coworker had that. And she was in there for a couple of months.
Yes, he was a U.S. Army veteran who lived in Palm Beach County, Florida.
Yes.
And had a motorcycle accident, which I guess led to that MRSA infection, which is like a, that would just be sucky. Because, I mean, it's not funny because it says here that he died broke and in squalor after suffering from infected bed sores. His body was found decomposing and surrounded by empty alcohol bottles and a loaded handgun. Yeah, and it doesn't get any better from there. So
right, and it's just kind of interesting that that really statement ends up coming up later in the article, too, because they're talking about if this guy was sitting on, because they even questioned their own article to me. They said if this guy was sitting on this much money, wouldn't he have used it to at least pay for hospital bills? Or even, like, he was being foreclosed on for his house. Like, he didn't use the money for nothing. Like, I mean, even to really keep his own health together, like, he didn't do it.
That's the kind of the strange thing about the story, I think. And whatever it turns out to be, and I feel like maybe we're still not 100%, you know, we don't have all the information yet. But, it seems like it's really weird that people know that there is this amount of bitcoins that is in the name of, or the account of Satoshi,
and Nakamoto.
And, it hasn't been cashed out. So people like are just wondering, like, you know, why is that? 'Cause it's like, I forget exactly if it was some enormous sum of money.
Yeah, I think it was like a little over a million Bitcoin, which, and I'm trying to remember the number that they gave for it, which I'm slowly scrolling to.
Well, at one point, I think Bitcoins were over $1,000 per Bitcoin, and I believe that they've fallen down quite a bit since then.
Right.
But at that point, I don't know. Would that be $1 billion? Something ridiculous like that?
Yeah, so it's just over 1 million Bitcoin. Because this was the other thing that they said was wrong about it. The statement that they have and they show in this article says that it was only worth $100,000 U.S., but at the time of this contract, it actually would have been $31 per Bitcoin, so it would have been $31 million.
Oh, yeah. So that's still not, chicken feed, obviously.
Right.
And if, you know, one person somewhere had access to this account, like, it just doesn't make sense why they wouldn't use it at some point. But then I guess they could just be traced, and maybe they figure that's not even worth it.
And that's just kind of the interesting thing, because really this article admits that they got everything from a hacker. So, true. I mean, that's also, although they did follow up, they did as much follow up as they could on the information that was provided to them to try and get more information, but pretty much everyone involved in all of these emails,
yes,
gave them a flat, get the hell off my lawn. They gave them some very vague information, like, yes, I met with a person, but that was all that they did. Whether it was this Dr. Wright who lived in Australia, or even the guy, David Kleberg in Tampa, seemed like, well, just the way his body was found, like he was dead for several days.
Kleeman.
Yeah, Kleeman. I mean, that's how much of a recluse that guy was, is that he was dead for several days before anybody knew.
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer.
Right. So,
but yeah, this was, I think, the most quote unquote damning evidence for this Wright having previously admitted to being Satoshi Nakamoto.
Yes.
was during some kind of business meeting here, and it may have been with the Australian government, actually, about taxes or something for his business.
Yeah, the Australian tax office come into play.
Oh, yes.
The ATO.
Because they wanted to have Bitcoin treated as currency instead of an asset, which would have been a higher tax amount on it.
Right.
And so at one point he said, I did my best to try, and this is from the transcript, I did my best to try and hide the fact that I'm running Bitcoin since 2009, but I think it's getting most, by the end of this, I think all the world is going to bloody know. You got to throw a bloody in there just so we know he's Australian. But that was like a weird non sequitur. Like, if you look at the transcripts, it's like out of nowhere, he just says he's been running Bitcoin since 2009. But
yeah, it doesn't have any bearing on what is happening at that moment, I don't feel like.
And I also liked a quote from a blog post of his from May of 2013, in which he says, I will make a solution to problems you have not even thought of, and I will do it without your or any state's permission. I will create things that make your ideas fail, as I will not refuse to stop producing. I will not live off or accept welfare, and I will not offer you violence. You will have to use violence against me to make me stop, however. And powerful stuff there.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, gives you the impression that he might be a little self-aggrandizing, perhaps.
And that was one thing that made me go, okay, if this guy invented this, wouldn't he be crowing about it? Like, this guy seems like too much of a pompous ass to just be sitting on this information for now going on 6 years.
Yes.
Without
having, like, tooting his own horn, you know?
Yeah, without tooting his own horn. He's pretty much let this go under the wire about as well as possible. Like, he obviously contacted some authorities to try and get things straight business-wise.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could argue that maybe he didn't do enough to cover himself because of the what the hacker, I guess, was able to allegedly find with, you know, emails being sent between him and the Kleinman.
Well, and that's the other thing to me that's just fascinating about just this story in general. Whether, you know, that's fine that Newsweek was wrong, but it's just kind of interesting that people have had to guess this much. Just in general, like, it's one of those things that things get found out so quickly. Like, the whole Banksy thing is kind of fascinating to me, since nobody officially knows who it is, which it's hard to hide your identity when you're doing something this public.
Right. I mean,
and running like this new currency that, and they mentioned it really at the top of the article, like, it's not going away. Like, it's not increasing as much as they maybe want it to, or at least some the investors want it to.
Right.
But it still is a currency that's being used, and it's, again, it's going to be around.
And I think,
so, I mean,
too,
that's just fascinating. Like, it's an important thing, and nobody's stepped up to say, hey, by the way, I'm the guy that did this. Can you imagine, like, Bill Gates not saying, I invented Microsoft?
I invented Windows, yeah.
Yeah, like, really?
That's an interesting point. And it maybe does point to it really being like a group of people, so that, like, if any one person would try to go out, like, the other ones would kind of, I don't know, sabotage them, pull some kind of self-destruct switch. I don't know.
Right.
I guess I'm being a little dramatic here. Oh, what I was going to say, though, is, you know, the idea of Bitcoin not going away. And I guess even if Bitcoin goes away, like, there's still, like, the idea behind it is still going to be, I think, important because of the, what they call the blockchain, where, like, it's not really centrally controlled anywhere. It's the record is all, like, distributed, and, every transaction is kind of verified by everyone else that's using the Bitcoins doing a transaction.
Oh,
so
right.
Like that kind of like takes away the need for like a central authority to kind of
to command manage the money.
These or manage the market basically. Yeah.
Right.
So like you could have this, you know, like a stock market could be built off this kind of idea potentially.
Oh.
Or, you know, some other currency someday.
Right.
Or, you know, you could use it to process, you know, instead of having maybe credit card companies, you could somehow use this instead. So there's like no middleman there.
Yeah. And if the interest rate is better, everyone would go for it.
Well, yes. Well, the fees would be lower. So that's good.
Yeah, they should be.
Yeah.
So I would think that more people would flock to it.
So yeah, I mean, it is kind of an important you know, piece of technology, I think, however you look at it.
Right. So for nobody or even the group, honestly, to claim it, to me, that's just kind of neat. So I mean, these guys could just. And again, like it seemed like a lot of the documents, even though that they talked about it, I don't think they ever directly said we invented it. It always seemed like they said we helped to invent it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
in
yeah.
These correspondences, even if this one guy, he did use the Dr. Wright there.
He did say he was running Bitcoin since 2009.
Yeah, he did say that, and he also had. An email that came from the Japanese alias that the
Satoshi Nakamoto.
Nakamoto. So you know, you could be kind of the figurehead or whatever.
Yes.
And not be the inventor.
Not be the brains behind the operation.
Right. You know, maybe they needed, maybe he was just better at coordinating with all these smart people. Whatever the case. It's still, yeah, I mean, no one's picked it up. It's kind of neat. And even if these guys are still a cog in the machine or whatever, like, it's still quite impressive, like you said, what they came up with.
Yeah, I think so. But, I guess the verdict is still out on this one, but it's kind of a, you know, a compelling reason to think it could be, you know, these guys be involved in the creation somehow for sure. And it's kind of a, but it still makes that question, like, why the heck wouldn't you use that money somehow? It's a matter of life and death, really. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Nothing would, to me, would seem more important than that. You right. know, if there's ever a desperation time, even if you don't go, I'm cashing it all out, just like cash out enough just to, you know, stay alive.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you wouldn't want to necessarily take that money out for just anything, but for, like you say, a life and death situation is different. I mean, it's not like he was going to take this money out and use it to buy, you know, biohacking implants that he would get put into his... under his arm or anything, you know.
Oh,
I mean, something ridiculous like that.
I did not see that coming. I don't think that it was necessarily one of the better segues that we've ever had on the show. But it can work.
Everyone is a critic, you know. You ever notice that, Kevin?
Oh yes. Yes, they are.
That's fine. You know, I'll just take that I'll take that note and run with it, you know.
but there are some people and this is just crazy to me, although not unexpected.
And in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, of all places.
Yes, this one is based out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or at least the people that came up with the technology. Some of it. What the?
Yeah, so I said it earlier. Biohacking.
Biohackers. And I was just trying... Oh, the Biohacking Collective Grindhouse Wetware.
Yes. Which is a... Really, a, just a terrifying name. Grindhouse Wetware. It just sounds like... someplace that is a has a killing floor, you know? I'm not sure exactly what they do there, but they have some kind of killing floor. You can tell that much from the title of the place. As far as I'm concerned, Kevin.
Yeah, but I don't think that they weren't trying to kill anybody.
No, it turned out not to be, but that name just suggests that sort of place.
Instead,
they had some kind of a, not killing floor, but they were cutting people there, weren't they, Kevin?
Yeah, this is just the next step. Like, there's always, because I just remember the facial piercings being a big thing.
Body modification.
And body modification has kind of upped that a notch. And this is more in that body modification area.
Yes, that's fair to say.
And I'm not completely sure. Like, it's always one of those things where I guess I don't understand going that far.
Yes.
Like, I picked the piercings that I did because I knew if I took them out that there would be no real lasting effect.
Yes, I feel like this fits a theme that we've done before of, like, taking things a little too far, you know? Like...
Oh, like the time where people were shooting up their eyeballs with night vision.
Yes, that's another one. That's a good one, actually.
It's kind of fascinating, and it would be cool. I don't want to be the guinea pig, but if people start figuring this stuff out, and it's more safe, like, it would be pretty cool. But, like, right now, it's just like, now, why don't you
How about
do that?
You not take that syringe and inject it into my eyeball so I can maybe see in the dark, but also potentially pop my eyeball.
Yeah, lose my vision for the rest of my life.
It's a good trade-off, I think. No, well, these people are taking a similar risk, I guess. I mean, since we were talking about infections from our last story... you're opening yourself up, literally, to infections with this kind of body modification.
And I didn't really, I didn't check to see, but it's a 2 euro coin. I should look that up.
Oh, that's the size of the object that, I guess we should come out and say it, they insert under their skin, on their arm.
Right, it's a...
basically where the watch would be worn. I guess.
No, it's on top of their hands.
Oh, are you sure, man?
It's in the picture.
Oh, why did I block that out?
right at the top.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in the top of their hands.
That is so just gross. I just do not like that. And I mean, I love technology. Don't get me wrong.
It would honestly make a little more sense if they had gone in, like, in the watch territory.
Right. But then I guess you couldn't wear a watch, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, that is kind of funny. The one guy is wearing a watch in the picture.
Yes. These three
just in
weirdos.
Case he doesn't... can't read his watch in the dark. He can just pop his hand light on.
Right. And I guess the thing is that the object itself is about the size of a 2 euro coin. It looks like it takes up about half the area of the back of their hand, maybe?
Yeah. The diameter is 25 millimeters. What the fuck does that mean?
25 millimeters, yeah. Well, it looks like it's about half the hand, but it's placed, you know, in the middle of the hand, obviously.
Oh, okay, it's almost a full inch.
Almost a full inch? Okay.
Or no, it's a full inch.
Okay, it looks bigger in the picture. Maybe these people have small hands. I don't know.
Yeah, it does seem to take up an awful lot of their...
They could be overselling their, you know, miniaturization process here. I'm not sure.
Well... Yeah, because that was one of the important parts of the article, is they're trying to make them smaller, Yes. And that this is actually smaller than the previous unit that they were using.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it looks like something out of a horror movie as far as I'm concerned. It's like, yeah. You remember that scene where like Freddy Krueger is like in Nightmare on Elm Street, he's like someone sleeping in the bed and he's like coming out from the wall and is like stretching the surface of the wall. And, like, you can see his face and, like, hand coming through.
Oh, right.
That's basically what it looks like. looks like, you know, Freddy Krueger or some kind of nightmare creature is going to come bursting out of your hand.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess the upside is you can turn this on and off.
Oh, and we forgot to mention it lights up. It's like a ring that lights up, basically.
Yeah, it's an LED light. And there's a dark space in the middle of it with, it kind of looks like what Simon Says.
Yeah, similar, I guess. But as far as I can tell, there's no sound output and no fun game that you can play with it.
Correct.
It just lights up when you bring a magnet nearby, from what I can tell. Which, that's my main problem with this. Like, I think it's too far to go, even if it did do something useful. But, like, to have it just be a light when you put a magnet over it is, like, pretty weird to me.
Yeah. That just, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Kevin is overtaken with a fit of sneezing here.
Yeah, I am having some sneezing problems, grandkids.
But I would say that I think... Well, I don't know. I guess the point isn't to be useful, really, necessarily. And I guess I'm saying, I just don't understand what the point is.
Yeah, I just don't get it at all.
Yeah.
Like,
it's...
I can't think that that's going to be attractive to someone.
But maybe it's kind of like being just the first person to do anything. Like, these are like kind of the real super early adopters.
Yeah, I mean, all of these people certainly are trying to achieve something. I don't know if you want to call it superhuman.
Transhuman.
Transhuman, maybe.
Yeah.
Because they did say that they have to worry about the electronics being in your skin and on top of your...
Oh, do you? Do you have to worry about the electronics being in your skin? Huh. That's interesting. Well, that's, I guess, something else to worry about this operation. And I would think that would heat up your skin, too, when that thing is on.
Well, it is an LED light, which stays very cool. So technology has advanced in the lighting department. And I wasn't really surprised. Anytime you're doing something like this, you have to be super hygienic. The places that I went to get my piercings, no matter how grimy the outside of the building may have looked,
yeah,
I can guarantee you they were not effing around and everything was very clean.
Yeah, they have like the sterilization packets and things that their tools go into and... Yeah, that's true. And I'm sure they at least went that far, because it seems like this guy is a... he's kind of experienced with that kind of piercing and body modification stuff.
Right, yeah. Because the Wetworths just supplied the LED light and came up with it. And this guy, this other gentleman, I think he was from Germany. Osterlund is runs a tattoo studio in Sweden.
Go figure.
Yeah, because he just Johan Osterlund is the gentleman who actually implants these lights, and it does not seem like it's a very widespread thing, which is not shocking at all.
Yeah, this has not caught on with the masses. people are not clamoring for this in Idaho.
Well, maybe the one guy does live in Idaho.
Maybe.
I mean, no one would see you with that if you lived in Idaho or Montana.
That's probably where Natoshi Nakamura lives, come to think of it.
Satoshi.
Satoshi, that's
Nakamoto.
Right. Nakamoto, exactly. We pride ourselves on pronouncing names correctly each and every time we say them. I don't know if that's the point, though. Like, if you're going through all this trouble, wouldn't you want people to see it? Or would you really not want people to see it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you do show something like, well, unless you're afraid that your parents aren't going to like it.
Oh, my God. If you're still living at home, don't do this, I think. That's my advice to anyone out there. You know, get to the point where you can live out on your own first, and then you can make a clear-headed decision, I think, whether you want to have this put into under your skin. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a decision best left to people that at least have some ability to make their own decisions.
Yeah, and then you can do whatever the F you want to do. Your parents can't tell you anything after that point, so. Yeah, we're not going to be able to tell you to do anything either, so go for it. But really consider all the bad downsides here.
Yeah, and there is some downside to a new technology that has caught on, Ken.
Mm.
That would be cryotherapy.
Yes. Well, yeah, I guess there's something like, I was reminded of like a sensory deprivation or like a spa place.
Yeah, I am fairly
when
familiar
I read about this
with
story.
This because Joe Rogan is a big fan of both the float tanks and the cryotherapy. So I have heard about them quite a bit.
So have you heard like a description of what it's supposed to do for you then?
Yeah, it's supposed to help you heal, and it's supposed to get endorphins moving because you're... I believe it's at 30 degrees. I missed the show full article. Little thing there that mentioned the... because in this article, it was about a worker who died in a cryotherapy tank.
Yeah, speaking of downsides, exactly.
Yeah, so that was the downside, this situation, but... It also sounds like she didn't
do what she was supposed to do.
Yeah, do what she was supposed to. Like, everyone had somebody observing them. Like, there was never a point where there wasn't oversight.
Right.
Of some nature. So...
Well, I guess we should probably say what a cryotherapy chamber is, really.
Yeah, well, I was trying to find the... the temperature that it got down to, but go for it, Ken. I feel like you have it pulled up here.
Okay. So it's, basically the idea behind it, is like, you know, when you get, a banged knee or whatever, you hurt your elbow, you want to put ice on it, right? To make it better. This is kind of the same theory. Except instead of putting ice on, you know, a body part that has been damaged, you are getting into a chamber that is being cooled by liquid nitrogen. And actually, they cool their centers or their chambers cool down to somewhere between -160 and -300 degrees Fahrenheit. Oh.
Yeah, a little bit colder than I was suggesting.
Far lower than the lowest naturally occurring temperature sighted on Earth, -135.8 degrees Fahrenheit, recorded in Antarctica using a satellite.
Yeah, it's pretty cold.
That's pretty cold. And apparently people spend like 3 minutes in these chambers, perhaps? And then can come out like quickly. So like their body supposedly won't, die.
Because I did love the fact that, they, just, directly after that, they mentioned that our bodies are pieces of meat, and nothing would freeze that quickly.
Yes.
Like, despite the cold temperatures, it's just not not fast enough.
We are a thick piece of meat when you get down to it.
Yeah, and I would think that that was maybe one of the problems.
Well,
with the worker that died, I would imagine that your body mass has something to do with keeping the heat around.
Yes. And I think for some reason she may have, like, you're supposed to keep your head outside of, like, the cold area. Like, it kind of closes you in, like, almost a sarcophagus situation, it seems like.
Yeah, your head is free.
But your head is open.
Yeah.
And she was found with her head down in the chamber, which they don't know if, like, she had her cell phone in there, so she may have, like, dropped it and gone down to retrieve it, and then, like, been overcome with, you know, fumes or whatever.
So yeah, which, whatever way she died, it sucked.
Yeah, that's really tragic. And it does make you think, like, does the benefit outweigh the risk, I guess? Because the other thing is, like, you have to be careful. Like, you can't have any, like, your body can't be wet or anything. Because that would, like, really conduct the cold. And you can't, like, have a ring on or something. Because they said one time someone had a ring on, it, like, really was not good. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this one seems a little more safe, in my opinion, than biohacking.
Yeah, I guess I would agree with that.
And, it just sounds like if you take it for the right amount of time, it's at a minimum not going to harm you. And I just feel like people already, I know that the coldest temperature was up in Antarctica, but it can't be good for you to do, like, a true polar bear jump that people do, like, up in Alaska and places in Russia, where they just jump in the freezing-ass cold water.
Yes.
I guess that's... I didn't even think about it until right now.
Yeah, I was just reading, you're basically naked when you're in this cryotherapy chamber also. Women go naked but place gloves, socks, and slippers on their extremities, and men do the same but wear boxers. Gloves? So women don't wear any underwear? Now, why is that? Oh, I guess because you got to protect your twig and berries a little bit there.
Yes.
That makes sense. Well, I guess my advice would be, like, take it seriously if you're going in one of these things. Like, follow the instructions.
Oh, okay. So, water can be, down to 55 degrees before it, is absolutely, frozen.
55 degrees.
Minus 55 degrees. Water can be liquid down to up to not minus 55 degrees.
Well, that's interesting. So that could be still frozen then, if it got all the way down to...
Yeah, so if you're doing... I guess, again, going back to the polar bear jump, you could be jumping into some fairly cold water there. And, I mean, it's still... It's been a thing for a long time. Like, this cryotherapy chamber is certainly upping the ante.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's similar to, like, athletes taking an ice bath, you know, after a game or after a hard workout or something. And they said that people in the Denver Broncos were using this and claiming to recover faster. And the trainer mentioned that some of that was psychological effect, which... is interesting, I guess, but, you know, how do you measure? You have to do some kind of, like, actual study, I guess. But even then, I don't know. It depends on your p-values, as we've previously covered here. So I guess it's hard to really come up with a conclusion about, like, is it worth it or not? But it sounds like if you are following
rules. I would be willing to do this. I guess I will move it to that. The biohacking, no thanks. I'm taking a pass. The cryotherapy, if they're saying up to 3 minutes, I might go, hey, you know what? Let's take this easy. Let's go 2 minutes.
Mm, yeah, that makes sense. Because you would, you know, think that that really literally wouldn't be long enough to cause any problems.
Right.
Let's
be safe about this. So, yeah, I could see myself doing that. So that's the way I'll leave that story.
One thing that I never understood is the ice bath. Like, can you imagine, like, just getting into, like, a bath of ice water? Like, to me, that would be like, what? No.
Oh, no. If I do something like that, I like the dry sauna. Like, that feels good to me.
I don't understand how these athletes do it all the time, though. Like, how would they get in that? Like, how do they do that?
Yeah, once you get used to it, you get used to it. Like, I mean, I felt like the last few years with the temperatures we've had out, like, even with as cold as it's been, at some point I'm like, oh, it's not that bad out. And it's like 25.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my lord, it's been this cold that like 25 degrees is feeling kind of warm right now.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the El Nino or what, but this has been a pretty warm
I don't
winter
mean
here.
To go all global warming on you. But...
oh, I think we're supposed to say climate change now.
Yes. Kevin.
We received a note from the OPA, or from the brass at Stunt Granny. Climate change.
Yes.
That's the new company line. Excuse me.
Yeah, well, I mean, it has been bitterly cold some days to the point where I don't put a sweater on Kia all that often. But the last 2 years, it's been a very heavy use. So I guess with the athletes, I would think that if you get used to doing that, that you just be used to it.
And I guess that points to there must be some kind of benefit from doing that. Otherwise, why the heck would they put themselves through that to even get used to it in the first place, you know?
Oh, yeah. Even if it is all psychological, it helps. Like, mm-hmm. I think that there are all kinds of instances where people literally help themselves out just with the power of suggestion.
Yeah. I can't imagine what, like, minus 160 degrees would feel like, even, you know? I guess you wouldn't, like, would you even feel it that much, since you're, I mean, it's hard to say.
I would think that it would be, and I'm going to compare this to the complete opposite. When I eat the ridiculously hot stuff,
okay,
it's some juncture, my mouth just goes numb.
Mm.
Like, it is so hot that it's just, the burning sensation just kind of stops.
If it's all burning, it's like, it's none of it's burning, in a way.
Yeah.
There's no way to contrast it to anything else. It just becomes like the new normal in your mouth.
Uh-huh.
And there's just nothing going on anymore. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So, I would think that, it would kind of, and again, it's a pretty short period of time, so you're probably like, oh my lord, I'm freezing my balls off. But maybe that last minute isn't so bad. Maybe you're starting to enjoy it at that point.
Well,
or at least you're kind of getting numb to it, so you don't really feel anything.
Or you're losing consciousness. Well, you know, if you ever end up trying this, I would like... I would just expect a report back to let us all know how it goes.
Yeah, on OPA 120, we will get around to that.
There you go. Well, it's out in Colorado if we ever get out to Denver again, I guess. Or if you ever get out to Denver again, you could maybe stop by there. I'm not sure if that goes good with drinking a bunch of beer at the American.
Yeah, probably not the best plan.
It could help you recover, though.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe after.
Right.
Schedule it for hangover day.
Yeah, that could be a good move. You never know. Not that we're endorsing that, you know. That's, we are not doctors, and we are not authorized to give medical advice in any of the 50 states or territories throughout the globe.
Right.
So, excuse me. I think that about brings us to the end of our showtime here, maybe.
We are closing in on it, but we could go through a small topic. Do you think the Klein bottles is a small topic, or does that deserve...
Let's leave that as a teaser for people.
Okay. Well, we could talk about the second beer of the evening, sure, which is the Stunt Granny Brewing Pale Ale, which I still have a butt ton of.
And you know what? People at the wedding, any of you who are listening, like, you really missed out on a solid, solid beer by not sampling this as much as you should have.
Yeah, I do think that hop taste, not as subtle in this one, is in the hipster repellent IPA.
Yeah.
Because I really, I did do some pretty decent work on the hops. And I forgot to check to see maybe if, I don't know if they have the IBU on here or not. Oh, they don't. I'll have to check that some other time. For the hipster repellent. But I know that this was 56. Yeah, because it was 5.6% alcohol and 56 IBU. I think I'm going to try and lower it a smidge next time around. I want to do an experiment with it too and load the hops all separately to see how it would taste different rather than mixing them as I did this this past time.
Now, could you explain the difference between the alcohol percentage and IBU?
The alcohol percentage is just the amount. Really, that's all the malt that is in there. That convert. The yeast converts the sugar in the malt into the alcohol.
Yes.
So that's where the ABV comes from. The IBU is all how much hops you put into the alcohol. And it does vary. Like, if you're using a lot of malt, you've got to use more hops. It's not going to make it necessarily more hoppy, but it's going to make it more sweet. So you need more bitterness to offset it. And I don't know what the ABV was kind of high on this. Oh, 6.3 on the hipster repellent. Yeah. So it's not that much higher than this, although they used a cleaner malt because it's not as orange.
Oh, you know what? I think that threw me a little bit because I felt like the hipster repellent was a little lighter because you said it had a lighter flavor to it, but it still was up there a decent amount there.
Yeah, they probably just used more of a Pilsner malt, something that was a little bit lighter in color as opposed to this one, because I do feel like the white ale that I have sitting downstairs at the current moment has a lighter tone than this, despite having cranberries and plums in it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So the IBU, yeah, kind of that, it plays off of the malt total a bit. But and it also depends upon the alpha acids in the hops itself. The ones with the higher alpha acids tend to be more bitter, and the ones with the lower ones don't tend to be as bitter.
Well, thanks for that in-depth discussion there. I think feel like we've all learned something tonight. It's a nice way to bookend our show with two different beer topics there, which is well done for our 62.
Yeah, and coming soon to Stunt Granny, the third annual Roundtable of Drunks. Wherein I get everyone's choices of their favorite beers from wherever the hell they live. because you can get a whole lot of beers now in the United States. I believe the count that I saw recently was 4,144 breweries.
Wow. I want to say that's a lot more than there are movie theaters. Just to kind of put that in perspective a little bit. Maybe more than there are McDonald's.
I doubt that.
That's an interesting question. That could be our poll question of the week. Do you think there are more breweries or McDonald's in the United States?
Well, I am looking that up.
Ooh. All right, guys. You know, honor system. Come up with your answers in your heads right now. While Kevin is looking for it.
Well, I'm trying to figure out which one. In the United States?
Yes. Yeah.
14,157.
Ooh. All right. So, McDonald's wins.
Yeah, by a good 10,000 margin.
Yeah. Yeah, that no, was not that close. No. Okay. Well, never mind that theory.
That's okay. We still have room to catch up then, is what you're saying.
Yeah, obviously there's more room to grow.
There's 10,000 more breweries that can open up.
There needs to be a brewery that replaces every McDonald's and, you know, or at least, well, it wouldn't have to be all of them. Maybe half of them. I think that would tip the balance enough. So, yeah, get working on that, guys. And I think that's probably wrapping it up here for this week, Kevin.
Yes, it is. So, at Ghoster33, at DeFrango11, at StuntGranny, have a good night. And opa!